Happy Sabbath, one and all. Greetings to those gathered here and those on the phone, those listening to the recording, those joining us on WLMR Radio. I'm so glad to have you with us. And happy Sabbath to Brother Bob and Sister Bonnie. Glad to have you with us on the phone, dear ones. And glad to be in fellowship with you once again. Got an important sermon for today, continuing in our series on Let Them Make Me a Sanctuary. We need opening song first, an opening prayer, so let's get to our opening song. And our opening song is Whiter Than Snow. And that's what Jesus wants to do for each one of us, to indeed make us whiter than snow through his precious blood, merits, and righteousness. And may we let him do so for us. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Lord Jesus, let nothing unholy remain. Apply thine own blood and extract every stain. To get this blessed cleansing, I all things forego. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Savior, for indeed making us whiter than snow when we come to Thee for cleansing. Thank you so much for your precious blood, merits, and righteousness, enabling us to go from being filled with sin as red as scarlet to being cleansed to be white as snow. Dear ones, it's time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that for us? Please go right ahead.
Our Father in heaven, as your eye searches this world for hearts that are and would be receptive to your truths, please help us by an outpouring of your Holy Spirit to withstand the evils of this world which are meant to destroy us. May we be the people you have waited to claim as your own, a people worthy to live for eternity, inheriting the richest blessings that are bestowed by the Creator of the universe. Please give us your love, your wisdom, your understanding, your discernment. Give us faith, courage, and peace to rise above the individual snares that are laid for us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Please bless us individually according to our needs and as a body for the work you have entrusted to us. Bless the true leaders of your people around the world, and may your Spirit attend each time we assemble. We praise you and thank you for blessings to us each day, blessings great and small. We praise you and thank you, your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, for finishing the work you have begun in us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And thank you, dear Sister Dixie. Praise God indeed for making our salvation possible. Well, this is part 12 in our series, Let Them Make Me a Sanctuary. And those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID2020.htm. And if you see the first picture there shows the general design of the sanctuary, and it forms a perfect cross. And last Sabbath, we discovered what spiritual truths were taught that dealt with the golden bells at the bottom of the high priest's garment, that blue robe. We also saw what spiritual truths were taught with the curious girdle, the ephod, the Urim and the Thummim, the two stones, and the white holy mitre with the golden crown, as well as the outer garments of the common priests. So we've investigated into all the specific outer garments which could be seen upon the priests. But did you know that in addition to all these outer garments, the Lord God Michael also directed that the high priest, as well as all the common priests, were to wear other specific garments that could not be seen? And we're going to discover today what these unseen garments were and what spiritual truths they taught. And if you look at quote number one, these unseen garments were actually an undergarment of linen breeches of fine twine linen. And that's Exodus 39:28. You can see a picture of what they may have looked like. And the purpose of these linen breeches was to cover their nakedness when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. And that was Exodus 28. Now these linen breeches extended from the loins even unto the thighs. So then there was no possible way for the nakedness of any priest to be directly seen. And this was true even if the priest should bend over or ascend the stairs of the altar of sacrifice, or perhaps it was windy that day and his, you know, garments were billowing up. There was just no way to see the nakedness of any priest. And these breeches were in addition to the outer priestly garments. So then this combination of garments would even prevent the outline or shadow of the priest's manly form from being indirectly seen should he pass in front of any light. So with this practical instruction, the Lord God made it very clear that there was not to be any public lewdness or nakedness whatsoever connected with any of the sacred religious services that were performed in his sanctuary. And he also made it clear that he would not allow or tolerate any priest directly or indirectly exposing himself even by accident. So, just like when Adam and Eve first found themselves naked in the Garden of Eden because they had committed sin, the light disappeared from them. God did not allow them to remain publicly naked, but he provided them with coats of skins and clothed them, as we're told in Genesis 3:21. So in like manner, the Lord God Michael was again making it plain and clear that he had not changed, that there was to be no form of public nakedness to be permitted, especially among his priests, because it was not something to be proud of, but it was shameful for it to be revealed in public. And if any priest were to purposely ignore this divine instruction of God and expose his nakedness while being connected with any aspect in the worship of God, then the Lord God made it very clear that this lewd act would make them guilty of committing iniquity while in sacred service to God, and the penalty was they would die. You can find that in Exodus 28, verse 42. But all the other religions believe that nakedness was not something to be ashamed of, but was something to be proud of, and was even to be permitted at special times while in public. The pagans believed that their gods were reproduced through sexual actions, and creation itself was believed to be brought about by their gods through sexual acts. And with this understanding, they believed that it was only proper to include the public worshiping of the sexual organs of both male and female, and to even engage in sexual actions as part of their public religious worship services. And they believed that these public orgies were the highest form of worship to their gods, and thus were necessary in order to please and honor these gods. So then by the Lord God Michael requiring all of his priests and ministers to have on linen breeches underneath their garments, this distinctly set apart God's system of worship from all the other religions. And the Lord God also made it very clear that these same sensual practices of the pagans were not to be allowed or connected in any way with his worship services. And since the firstborn of the other 11 tribes had joined in with the same sexual practices and worship services of the pagans during the golden calf apostasy, and they had willfully exposed their nakedness in public, as you can see in Exodus 32:25, then this was one of the reasons why God refused these firstborn and instead chose the faithful tribe of Levi to become his priests. They had not joined in the festivities. They had not exposed themselves in public. God chose them to be his priests. So it was through all these priestly requirements that the Lord God Michael proved beyond doubt that he was indeed a God like no other God on the earth. He showed that he was the Lord that bringeth you up from the land of Egypt to be your God, and was indeed thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And as such, he expected all of his followers, especially those connected with his sanctuary and worship services, to also be holy, for I am holy. But this was just the practical reason why there was to be no public nakedness seen in any of the priests connected with God and his sanctuary. So then, what spiritual truths do these linen breeches teach us? And if you look at quote number 2, again, seeing the picture there of the linen breeches. The Bible brings out that nakedness is a symbol of sin and selfishness of an unconverted heart. So that's what nakedness represents, sin and selfishness. So as long as we remain unconverted, as long as we are full of sin and self, then we are without the covering of Christ's precious robe of righteousness around us. And without this covering, then we are naked, is something to be ashamed of. And just as Adam and Eve used flimsy fig leaves as a substitute covering for their nakedness, many of God's people today, including priests, pastors, ministers, etc., are found using flimsy excuses of their own to try and cover up their sins and selfishness. But all such excuses in continuing to allow self to live and not die plainly reveals just how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked they really are. And we ourselves, if we're using excuses to continue in sin and selfishness. And that was Revelation 3:17. It's only when we decide to no longer live for self, but to humbly come to Christ and beg him for forgiveness, plead with him for cleansing and to convert us with his Spirit, that he will then give us gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see, which is Revelation 3:18. When we come to him, he will give us and do all these things for us. And after obtaining these things, then we can truly be forgiven, converted, holy, sanctified, and a selfless follower of God. We can escape from being in an unsavable condition of Laodicea and instead come into a savable condition that's brought out in Smyrna or Philadelphia, which, by the way, are the only two of the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3 that receive no condemnation. We have to be either of Smyrna or Philadelphia to be saved. Those that were faithful and selfless, that were in the condition of Smyrna, would represent those who remain faithful unto death, and they will indeed be given a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Those selfless followers of God that are in the condition of Philadelphia, these will not see death at all, but will remain alive unto the coming of the Lord. And this is because Christ states that since they have kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth, which is Revelation 3:10. And by the way, those that are in the condition of Smyrna as well as Philadelphia are persecuted by those who claim to be Jews, who claim to be the followers of God, but are not, because they do lie. They're part of the synagogue of Satan. Now, if you look at quote number 3, if any of us, including the ministers and pastors connected with God's work, including the remnant church of God, if any of us choose to cling to our sins and remain selfish, then we are actually choosing to remain shamefully naked and unclothed by Christ's robe of righteousness. And in this unsavable condition, we risk being removed from our place and position and being set aside by God, having others taking our place, and we be forever lost. In Jeremiah 1:8, we're told, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. But we don't have to remain in that condition. We don't have to risk being set aside, because we're told in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, then we're perfect. We're sinless at that point. But we must confess our sins. We can't hide them and expect to be forgiven. In Proverbs 28:13, we're told, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So that's one of the spiritual truths that these linen breeches reveal to us. But there's another spiritual truth that these undergarments bring forth. We look at quote number 4. These linen breeches were to be worn in addition to the white coat and the blue robe, even though both of these outer garments covered over the nakedness of the priests. But why? Since the white coat represents Christ's righteousness, and the blue robe represents obedience, and these already covered the nakedness of the priest, then why did God also provide the additional protection of undergarments that shielded against even the form of nakedness being revealed? as these additional undergarments protected against even the form of nakedness being revealed. And we know that selfishness and sin represents nakedness. Then this would symbolize how careful the ministers of God, which would include each follower of God, how careful we should be to avoid allowing even the form or appearance of selfishness and sin to be revealed in our life. In Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15, we're told, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Now these verses reveal that someone who is already righteous should be extremely careful to maintain their righteousness and not even dare to walk in the same pathway of the wicked. You look at quote number 5. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 22 to 26. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." We're also told in Titus 3, verses 8 and 9, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." And then we're told in Romans 16, verses 17 to 19. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Now, these scriptures reveal to us that we are even to avoid entering into a debate or controversy over foolish issues or side issues with others. So we're basically to avoid any discussion that does not deal with important doctrinal truth or salvational issues. And God also instructs that we are not only to avoid the issue itself, but to also avoid fellowshipping with those who cause such strife and division over these issues. We're not to walk in the way of the wicked or evil. Now, if you look at quote number 6. From 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 14 to 24. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, these verses reveal to us that we're to avoid doing anything that has the appearance of evil. So we're not only to avoid committing evil, but we're also to avoid anything that has the appearance of being evil. So all of these verses and scriptural passages that we've read show us that the hidden linen breeches gave extra shielding against even the form of nakedness being seen. So then we're to avoid doing anything that has the appearance of evil, which would include avoiding side issue discussions that really have no bearing on the present truth or upon our salvation. Now, in these past 11 parts of this series dealing with the earthly sanctuary of God, we've discovered how the sanctuary was constructed. We've seen how the sacred furniture was arranged. We've understood what type of sacrifices were to be used and what services were connected with these sacrifices. We've also understood exactly how the priests were selected, how they were to be dressed when they performed their sacred duties in service for the people before God. We've seen the spiritual lessons connected with the outfit, with the garments of the priests, including the undergarments. But each one of these things were centered around the specific ministerial actions of the high priest. And all of these were dependent upon him. Without the high priest performing his specific ministerial duties, no one could be forgiven. No one could be saved from any of their sins. And thus the sanctuary itself, as well as everything connected with it, would prove worthless towards benefiting anyone in the slightest way without the high priest performing his duties. So since these ministerial actions of the high priest were so vitally important for salvation from sin, let us investigate into what specific responsibilities and actions the high priest himself performed. And we'll begin investigating into these actions next time. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And once you recognize his way, his character, you will say, who is so great a God as our God? So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. Our closing song for today's service is Holy Thine. I would be, dear Savior, holy thine. Teach me how. Teach me how I would do thy will, O Lord, not mine. Help me now. Holy thine, holy thine, Holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now.
What is worldly pleasure, wealth or fame, without thee, without thee? I will leave them all for thy dear name. This my wealth shall be. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now.
As a caster's transient joys behind, come thou near, come thou near. In thy presence all in all I find, 'tis my comfort here. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now.
Amen. And may we indeed be willing to set aside everything that we may win in Jesus. If we win Jesus, we win everything. Especially eternal life. If we have the Son, we have life. If we have not the Son of God, we have not life. Let us indeed be wholly His. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for developing the plan of our salvation and not leaving us in darkness to be destroyed. Thank you for not leaving us without hope, but sending Jesus to be our hope. Thank you, Savior, for carrying out your part in this great plan of salvation. Thank you for letting us see your way more clearly as we've gone through the sanctuary, and please continue to give us thy Spirit, and Spirit, continue to open our eyes and understanding as we go through the ministerial responsibilities of the high priest. Thank you so very much for awakening us from darkness, revealing to us the marvelous light as it is in Jesus, and giving us the grace and the strength and the courage to forsake all that we may win the Savior. Thank you, Father, that this world is being lightened with your glory as it shines from the face of Jesus Christ. And thank you that we are a day closer to heaven. Help us to be wholly thine, that all self, all sin is eliminated from us, that we avoid even the appearance of evil, for we do not want to bring our faith into disrepute. We do not want to be mistaken for being children of the wicked one. We want there to be no doubt that we are children of light, children of the Most High, followers of Jesus Christ. And thank you for making it possible, especially through thy word being obeyed. Please continue to be with us. Continue to work upon our hearts. Continue to cleanse us. Refine us, purify us, that our light may shine so much brighter for Jesus and fill this dark world so much farther until it is indeed ablaze with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Help us indeed to hasten your return and not delay it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's so much wonderful light and truth contained in the sanctuary. It wasn't just boring instructions that was given that served no purpose. Each one contained valuable lessons to lead us to understand more about the plan of our salvation. And what a joy it's been to be with you as we've gone through these. But there's more to come, dear ones. So we hope to see you next Sabbath. Are there any insights, any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Very inspirational, the explanations and the way God wants us to act in our personal lives with the sanctuary. Understanding that is just amazing. There's not one place, if we keep all of God's instructions, that the devil can get in and cause us to fall. And praise the Lord for such love that he shows us.
Amen. Amen. And that was the reason why Christ designed the sanctuary and the services and all the furniture and the garments of the priests. That's why Christ designed it the way he did. Was to lead and guide us upward and to reveal to us that if we're connected with the Most High, the devil can't touch us at all. Our salvation is assured as long as we continue looking unto our God. And Jesus is the high priest that points us directly to the Father. So indeed, dear sister, that is very true.
In comparing the fashion of today with the instructions that Christ gave, you can see why so many people fall.
Amen. Amen. Immodesty originates from Babylon. Modesty originates from God. So who do we want to follow? Do we want to make it plain that we serve the devil or God? Immodesty or modesty? So you can see that dress reform plays right into the sanctuary. Quite interesting.
Reference here. I know it applies to women, but we can make it apply both ways. This one comes from Child Guidance, page 417. Chaste simplicity in dress, when united with modesty of demeanor, will go far towards surrounding a young woman with that atmosphere of sacred reserve that will be to her a shield from 1,000 perils. And I have a song here. Usually your mom comes up with these songs, but I think I got one on her this time. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with a load of sin. Jesus took the load and gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away. We looked all over the place on hymnary for that, and we couldn't find it. But we found it in this Singspiration number 4, for those of you who have the book and are interested.
Amen, brother. But there's got to be more than one stanza for that. You left us with just one.
That's all my book had. Maybe Joan has more.
Well, I'm looking it up.
No, both of my books have just one stanza, so we got cheated, Bob. You'll have to come up with the other ones. ¿Habrá una estrofa de ese corito en español? No. I was hoping to learn a Spanish verse.
Well, I may be wrong. I'm not finding it here in Singing Youth. I was pretty sure I saw it there, but I could be mistaken. I'm not always 100% right, but pretty close.
Our book calls it I'm So Happy in all both books. We looked under several titles, but that's what it turned up.
I looked it up online, and there's only one verse to it.
Hello, everyone. Daniel here. I have a testimony, if it's possible, to share it. As you all know, I do self-coporturing sometimes, and I had an experience now about a week ago. Always I carry in my car a bag of books, Great Controversy, Steps to Christ, whatever. And I usually go to, I like to go to garage sales, but I buy only what I need, you know, but I like to go sometimes. But don't kid yourselves, I keep books at garage sales too. And last week, Sunday, there was across the border. You can see it in Google Maps. There is a village called Hemingford in Canada. I go to Canada sometimes, and I put flowers, and I go to see my parents' grave. It's a cemetery close to the border. And I went to a village at Hemingford, and there was an announcement saying that they have a garage. Village-wide garage sales. I think they have them all over, you know. And I went there and I looked at things and that. And as I always do, I think I showed you, I have a Spanish Steps to Christ we study. Buscando la Paz Interior is the title. And I had a lot of them with me. I think I had like 15. And I always ask myself, why did I, because they send me from the south, they send me these three, and I say, when am I going to have, because there's not too many Spanish people here in Plattsburgh, New York. So I say, when am I going to give all this? And I don't know how God worked, and it worked. I was stunned the way it was. I think it was like almost not a miracle, but. So I was going to garage sales, and in the when I started looking, I parked my car, and I saw some people that they didn't look like Canadians. They looked like they're from South America, and they were taking out money from the bank, withdrawing and talking. It was a group of about five people, and I started talking with them, not in Spanish, a little bit in Spanish, but they didn't talk English, but just my few words that I know in Spanish. And I said, oh, great, thank you, Jesus. And I took a few of my books, and I give to all of them, and nearly all of them, I think. Yeah, all of them, all the five, they were men. not ladies. And I said, how are you? Where are you from? And there were actually temporary workers brought from Guatemala. I was like, wow, from Guatemala working at the border with, I think it was some in the fields with vegetables or fruits. I understand. They were just temporary hired. Just like here, there is villages around me here in Plattsburgh. There right now, there are like 3 or 5 or 4 camps. There are people from Jamaica working, picking apples because there's a lot of apple orchards here. So I give the books and I started walking. When I see another group of about 10 people from Guatemala, like walking and looking at the, oh, I say, I was, wow, I say, let me take more books from my car. And I was passing to those people too, and I talked with them and that, and I walked further about half a mile or less than that. Then I see more and more until I saw about that I wouldn't say the truth if there were not at least 200-300 of them. And I went to the to my car and took all my books that I had in Spanish and passed them all along. And I say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I don't have more now. I ran out completely of Spanish books, Steps to Christ. So I was praising God and thank you God after that. And I say, I got a few things from God still, some new things. I praise God that I was able to give all the Steps to Christ and I have a little bit more home. But I was a little bit saddened that I didn't have more books. So the Lord worked to give them, to give all the, to these Spanish people, and they all took them and looked at them and took them, and I was like amazed how God works. So that's my testimony.
Amen. Praise the Lord, dear brother. And God knew that you were going to find all of those Spanish speaking individuals at a future time, and that's why he allowed all the Spanish materials to come to you. And it sort of reminds me of, well, I guess it would be a testimony that I heard a while back. This American individual was visiting over in Ukraine or Russian territory, and he was going to visit other brethren in an adjacent country. And so the brethren that he was staying with wanted him to take Bibles with him as he traveled across the border into the other territory, in the other country, and give to the brethren there. But it's illegal to transport Bibles across the border. And so he talked to the brethren there and says, man, you know, if I take these Bibles with me and I'm caught, well, I'm going to be thrown in the gulag, you know, in the Russian jails. I don't know if I can do that. And they said, well, you know, God will intervene. And he said, well, all right, give me one box. And they said, well, let's fill your car with them. Let's pack your car to the full. And he says, no, for sure I'm going to get caught at the border if I do that. Just let me take one box. I can hide that. So they said, well, okay, one, I guess, is better than none. So they put a box of Bibles in his vehicle. He covered it over as best as he could. He got to the border. When he got to the border, the guard looked at him and just waved him on. He could have had a car full of material, and God would have protected him. So it really showed a lack of faith. If God would have allowed him to go through the border with just one box, God would have allowed him to go through the border with a whole carload. And he was kicking himself afterwards. Man, I could have had so much more material in here to share if I just would not have lacked faith. So God knows what he's doing, and praise God, dear brother, that he allowed you to have as many of the Spanish materials as you had. And praise God that you were a Minuteman and had those in your car. not just left at home, you know, considering how am I going to get Spanish material out when no one speaks Spanish. But you had them in your car. You were a Minuteman. Praise God indeed.
Praise God for that. And wanted to say yesterday I gave a great controversy and steps for Christ to a guy that I knew years before, but I'm not friends. I mean, I'm like, I know him, but I don't see him too often. And he's a Mormon. And I give him, and he took the great controversy and steps to Christ. I talked to him about the law of God and the Sabbath and Jesus. And he started telling me some things about the heavens, how he sees that, some weird doctrines yet that you know that they have. And I said, I'll pray with you, because you have to know how to talk with people of different faiths, because you have to take care not to attack their favorite doctrines and all, you know. And he took them, and I gave him a ride home with my car, gave him the Step to Christ and Great Controversy and the DVD, and that was it. He thanked me. I said, I'll pray for you and your family.
Well, praise God indeed, because Mormons are very wary of taking material from anyone. It usually has to be approved by the elders of the church before they will accept it. So praise God for opening that door to his heart. And we'll keep him in prayer. Are there any other thoughts, any other testimonies, any other songs? Brother Dick, do you have another one there?
His name is Carlos, just wanted to say, Carlos.
Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I see my songbook's deficient here. You've got 5. I only have 3. Which ones did I miss? Not, but, not a shadow, not a shadow. Not a burden we bear, nor a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay for the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.
I just want to sing the scripture song, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Amen. I was listening to everyone talking about witnessing to others, and there is a definite call, but you've got to be listening and you got to act on God's word. And that reminded me of a song. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will err. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Praise the Lord and help us all to be listening for our names.
Amen. Thank you for those wonderful songs. And finally, glad to have a tune put to Matthew 24:14. That's fantastic, dear sister, and thank you. Another hymn that I found myself singing in my mind until I had to hunt it down and find it in our list is He Hideth My Soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my
burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry thirst.
Like my voice right now. Someone else finish this song. It's such a beautiful song.
He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand, with numberless blessings. Each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I shout with the millions on high. I shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the depth, in the cleft of the rock, the shadow a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and cover me dear with his hands, and cover me dear with his hands.
That was beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Very beautiful singing.
Amen. Are there any other songs? Indeed, it's wonderful singing. Praise God. Any other thoughts that you'd like to share, dear ones? Hello, Sister Ida. Well, please give our Sabbath blessings and greetings to Brother Vic and Sister Janelle for us.
Double blessings, dear ones. As every Sabbath, we want to sing a hymn in Spanish.
Contigo quiero andar, oh Dios, del fiel en lo siguiendo en pos, mi temblorosa mano ten, tu dulce voz calme el vaivén, la senda oscura al transitar. Jesús, contigo quiero andar. No puedo solo andar, Señor, tormentas rugen enredor, rodéanme engaños mil, me acosa el enemigo vil. Oh, calma el borrador. esposo mar. Jesús, contigo quiero andar. Mi mano ten pues de hoy en más, del mundo el bien dejando atrás. Valiente seguiré tu luz con la bandera de la cruz. Espero en Sion poder entrar, doy yo contigo quiero andar.
Amén. Beautiful hymn. I should record these things so I can learn it. Because my hymn in Spanish is very low. I just want to share a song from Christ Object Lesson. Page 159, paragraph 3, margin. It's encouraging. Encouraging quotes. Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it. I cannot keep it for thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak and Christ-like self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere, where the rich current of thy love, the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul. The rich current of thy love flow through my soul. Christ Object Lesson 159, paragraph 3.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. And the songs that are sung in Spanish or in other languages are on our website. So you'll be able to download them, dear Sister Rose, and listen to them and learn them. And today's Spanish hymn that was sung by our dear Gray family, that will also be on our website shortly. But let me show you where you can find it on our website here, just a second. Down to home church services, music. If you want scripture songs, they're here. We'll go to other religious songs. And then we have songs sung in Chinese. I think Brother Dick was the one that did that for us. Of course, English, and then French, Russian, Spanish. So here's all the Spanish songs. And there's quite a few. And the list is growing. thanks to our dear sister Rose and the Garay family. So there's a whole bunch of Spanish songs there. And I'm going to add the new one today to the list. And if we can get Brother Daniel to sing us one in, was it Romanian, dear brother? I think it was Romanian.
Yeah, it's Romanian, but I'm not so good at a singer at all. You don't want to hear me.
Well, other languages, we'll be adding them to our list. So praise God indeed.
Can I relate another experience? it's an experience. I'm going to try to make it with two subjects. There were two subjects. I wanted to make it in one with two subjects. So like a month ago, not even a month, I went to Aldi. I shopped there to buy food. And I have my books. So I always, the books never go out of my car. And I went inside, and I was walking and shopping and this and that, and I saw a family with a very cute girl. She looked like the girl was like 2-3 years old. And I approached that family and they say, "Oh, how cute!" Very. I mean, I think that was the cutest little girl I ever seen in my life. And they say thank you. And from the looks of the wife, they were Muslims. And I don't know how I started talking with them. And I ended up talking with the husband for like at least 15 minutes. You know, so. I was surprised to hear that he told me that he reads the Bible too and the Quran both. And I tried to tell him about the Sabbath, Jesus, and the law of God, and many other things. And I say, if you believe in God, you know, God wrote with his own hand the Ten Commandments. And so I started talking with him and try to convince him. They're very hard to convince on the point of that Jesus was the Son of God and not a regular prophet. And I give him some texts from Revelation and other books, I think. And I say goodbye, and his wife went outside. And when I left Aldi, and I just hope and praise God that they will read it. His wife was playing with a daughter. It's a little place there next to all the like grass and stuff. And I approached his wife and I took two books and I approached and gave her two books. It was the What's Behind the New World Order, Excerpts from the Great Controversy, and Steps to Christ in English. And she took them, and I say, God bless you. And the other experience is that maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe, this has happened very close to where I live, and there is a bus station for the local buses for the town. And they're small buses because it's a small town. And I was walking, and good that I had my bag with books. It's a backpack with books that I had it with me. And I was walking, and guess who was alone in the station? He looked to me like an Amish elderly guy. Elderly Amish. I was, because they come sometimes, I see them sometimes in groups, you know, the Amish walking here. And, actually, they have some Amish Adventists in Ohio. They have the website. I found it. But these were regular Amish, and he was just an elder man. He looked like in the 80s or so, 70s. And I started talking with him at the bus station, and, about Jesus and this, and I said, look, but they don't talk much, you know. And I say, you're elder Amish, and yeah, I think he told me yes, and I don't remember exactly the conversation. And I handed up the little booklet with What's Behind the New World Order, and he took it, and I said, thank you. But I had other times when I gave to Amish younger ones, tabloids or booklets, and I catch one. Not I didn't catch them, but when I returned, because I walked back, it happened that they threw out in the garbage the what I gave them. The younger ones. I don't know about the old ones, but so, and I this is like a few times. I mean, I gave books a few times, but one happened when they threw out in the garbage. But there were some of their women. Some of them, I talked with them, and they took the books. And I talked to them about the law of God. There is a bigger truth for to be understand about Jesus and the Ten Commandments and the prophecies. And 4 out of 5, I had success that they took, you know. But this elderly Amish man standing by himself, I was surprised, but not too surprised, because they visited the town. There is an Amish community upstate New York here somewhere, not very far, about maybe 50 miles or so. So that's all I wanted to share.
Well, thank you, brother, and we'll be keeping the people in prayer. And, you know, our responsibility is to get the materials in their hands, and then it becomes their responsibility what they do with it. But even if they throw it away, God has ways and means that perhaps the garbage man is the one that needed that book. And so God will direct his eyes right to it. So we really don't have anything to worry about. God will protect his word. It will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was given. Praise God indeed for at least getting the material in their hands, and God will take care of the rest. Any other thoughts, dear ones? Any other testimonies? Any other songs? Been a wonderful Sabbath service, especially with the music. And please go right ahead.
Well, I still feel an afterglow from the services last night. What a wonderful inspiration and feeling. I'm losing my voice, so I'll have to just think good thoughts.
To end my singing part will be very appropriate for the sanctuary study that we have today. You know, Elder Rob and everybody, every time when I go into the sanctuary or even hear any study, it is kind of like taking a little bit of heaven, because we know that the sanctuary was nothing that man had done, that it actually was designed from heaven. So sometimes it is very beautiful. Anytime when any study on the sanctuary is there, you just want to lose yourself in it and don't come back down. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh, Jesucristo, ven, prepárame para hacerme tu santuario con pureza y santidad. Afligida por verdad, por tus gracias, yo seré un santuario para ti. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh Dios, prepárame a hacerme tu santuario, puro y santo, justo y fiel, con tus gracias. Yo seré un santuario para ti.
Amen. That was a perfect song to end our service today on. Indeed, Lord, let us be your dwelling place. And thank you for making us your living stones. if we will allow Jesus to live within us. Dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. And I look forward to seeing you in our next service. May God bless.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Muy bien, Brother Dick, muy bien. Qué bonito voz.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. I think your voice is getting younger, dear brother Dick. You're hitting the high notes.
I agree.
That's called falsetto. That's not fair.
Have a blessed Sabbath, everyone, and a blessed evening. May God be with each and every one of you throughout the rest of the Sabbath. This is my prayer.